This is The Spot, a BYU-Idaho radio production where we talk about what you're talking about at BYU-Idaho. Today's hosts are me, Christian Nelson,
Chandler Guadnane,
and Brianna Leal,
with special guest Carson Youngberg, a member of the Student Leadership Council here at BYU-Idaho. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the host.
Yeah, this week is hobbies. Really quickly, I mean, why don't we just go around the room and everyone talk about their hobbies? We can start with Chandler.
All right. My hobbies are pretty simple. Sports. Watching, playing, anything that has to do with sports. I like to play video games like MLB The Show, Madden, NBA 2K, like anything that has to do with sports, I'm in. Pretty simple, but it's what I go for. So,
what? Nice. Do you like all sports or?
Soccer's boring. golf is boring. I'm sorry. You can hate me. You can at me. Whatever you want. But my top three are like baseball, basketball, and football. But not in any specific order, except that baseball is always on top. It's just what it is. So, nice. But yeah. Yep. But, yeah.
Those are good.
Those are my favorites. Awesome. Golf, soccer, boring. Tennis, also not my favorite, but that's because I don't play tennis. So maybe if I played it, it would be better. I don't know.
That could help.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What about you, Carson?
Well, I would say sports as well, except baseball. I'm sorry, Jalen. That's okay. It's a good sport. I mean, it is technically the quote unquote American sport, right? Back in the day, it's good. But I'm more of a basketball, football. I swam actually in high school all 4 years, and so I love swimming. But outdoors. So I'm so excited. It's finally warming up here in Rexburg because now we can start doing stuff outdoors, camping, sports outside, along with actually other crafts. That's why I think Yulong's so fun, is because I'm more of an extroverted guy, but the introverted activities such as arts and crafts, origami and stuff, that is a fun side that I'd like to develop as well. So not good at it, but I love trying. So art's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, Brianna. For me, actually, I love art.
Nice.
I like to do different styles of art. So, or I guess you could say different versions. So there's charcoal. I love doing that. I've always wanted to try watercolor, but I haven't gotten to it yet. But I love using acrylic paints. I like pen and ink, sketching, and yeah. So as for art, that's one of my favorite things to do. Another one I like to do is swimming, which I love that there is an indoor pool here because it is definitely way too cold to be outside swimming.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I got a lot of hobbies. I do like playing some video games. I built my own computer, which I don't know. When I was like in high school, that was a big deal. And nowadays I feel like that's more, you know. Like
that's huge.
No, but it's fun.
Crazy.
And I got a lot of hobbies. I'm into comic books.
Nice.
You know, love some comic books. I play airsoft.
Oh, dude, I do too. That's awesome.
Do you? That's sick. Yeah, airsoft's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of opportunities to actually do it up here in East Idaho. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff up here. And then what my other biggest hobby aside from airsoft is Warhammer 40K, which is where you collect the models and paint them, and then basically have a really big, complicated chess game mixed with Risk.
What? That's so cool. I've
never heard of that.
Yeah, so
that's
it's like
so
a
cool.
Yeah, it's like a sci-fi fantasy setting where it's like if you took like Lord of the Rings and you took Dune, I guess, is a really good comparison. There's a lot of stuff they take from Dune, actually. And you kind of like shoved it into the year 40,000 and everything's awful and horrible and humanity's like backwards.
Right.
Because they're like in a, you don't know, like a second medieval times, but in the future. Mm. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. It's very like gothic styled and everything. And it's just fun. Love painting those, painting the little minis and like listening to the books and everything. That's just my jam.
Yeah.
I love it. And Henry Cavill's making a TV show right now for it.
That sounds great.
He's a good actor, so.
Yeah, so hopefully that all turns out. But those are some of my definitely some of my biggest hobbies. So,
sweet.
But so what kind of opportunities does the school give? So Brianna was saying earlier that like you help plan D&D nights and stuff like that for people.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a couple of opportunities. As a student leadership council, the opportunity that I get to create as an involvement coordinator is You Belong. You also have the weekly events that are hosted by Student Connections and stuff, or through that route, Campus Life. And they hold the D&D nights on Thursdays, right? Sometimes we're trying to pull together D&D activities up there as well for those who can. Got to have, like, the right crowd come, right, to enjoy that. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely an opportunity for people to come to. Activities in You Belong, is that something that you guys would like to know?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, arts and crafts. I definitely know that. And if you can talk about any other activities.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, You Belong, it's every it's the last Saturday of every month. We try to hold at least three to four, depending on how many months there are in a semester. And like you were saying, Brandon, you liked the arts and crafts of like drawing and the pen and ink, right? Mm-hmm. We actually do that as well. We have like all sorts of crafts, pen and ink, sketching, the acrylic, sometimes we paint little like pottery things, pottery sets, so that people can plant little pot, like plants in them and then paint them.
That's cool. Yeah. It also includes planting as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Horticulture. We have horticulture societies there. But the idea of it is to gather activities plus societies. Sometimes we have Hope Council come or the Reading Society. And you can benefit from it intellectually as well as just have a chill, fun Saturday. You come and go whenever you'd like. It's from 3:30 to 5:30. Treats and activities. You get to play board games. There's the Composing Society that you get to compose your own music. There's classical music always going on, people just performing. So it's just a chill, fun atmosphere. Yeah, just plenty of just small talk, people laughing, and just really enjoying it. It's super fun. It's like a homey sort of feeling when you get there. I love it. I've never thought just such a relaxed, quote-unquote, more introverted activity would be so enjoyable. I love it. It's so fun.
Yeah, and by performing, are they people that love to do music that could just perform?
Yeah, yeah. So if you like classical music or you like playing the piano or something, or other instruments, the Composing Society helps you write music for it or perform it better. And so people just come up and start performing a song. I've heard John Schmidt a number of times, and hymns all the time. So yeah, you just go there and start playing. I wish I could, but people would start running if I started playing. So,
actually, I used to play trumpet.
Really?
And I actually have my trumpet right now. I just haven't had the time to practice again. But
That is cool. Yeah, I don't. They probably could help you there. We'd probably have to find a different room. That might be a little bit noisy. But yeah, you definitely have to come and try that out.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Talking about activities that you would like to, if you wish you could play an instrument better, right? But talking about activities that you would love to do and to explore, what would be, like, if you could pick anything, what would be that one activity? It doesn't have to be at this You Belong mm-hmm. event, but what activity would you like, I need to know more about that, what would that be?
Okay, I'm going to talk about, I guess, two. My extroverted side would definitely be the airsofting.
Oh,
that
yeah.
would be stinking fun. I didn't know you could play that up here. So
yeah, there's a pretty big group that
nice.
I can add you. I'll add you to the Facebook.
Should,
it's called Advantage
should.
Airsoft and or East Idaho Airsoft.
Okay.
And Advantage is like the company that
okay.
runs it. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I should bring my equipment up here. I live in Utah, so I should bring it up.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That would, yeah. So yeah, it would be airsofting. I think get outdoors, especially as it warms up. Love sports, like I said. The more introverted side of me, all my friends, for some reason, even all the guys, they crochet. I'm like, what?
I did crochet. Not know
people
that.
Start crocheting these days. I'm like, yep. Well, that's crazy.
That
did
is
you crochet?
So cool.
No, I don't crochet, but I know people who do.
Okay.
I know that people
manly.
Do.
That's what I'm
saying.
No,
exactly. That's not what I'm saying.
But. Yeah, I just want to know how the concept works. I'm like, I tie myself in knots before I got something made. So,
but
I just
that
know
sounds
what it's like.
So cool.
Yeah.
That so, they're able to do that. I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely an acquired skill.
Crocheting is when What is crocheting?
Yeah, so it's like yarn and other like materials, I guess. And you just crochet whatever you want. I've heard people do blankets and hats.
Is
and
that where you have like the big circular thing?
Oh,
that
round
you wrap
thing? I'm sure that's a form of it.
Okay.
That's a form of crochet. The knitting, my mom
done that one before.
Loved to crochet. So okay. she had those type of things and she would do that. And they had, you have two needles and you just, or I get crocheting and knitting mixed up at all the time. So it's either one needle or two and you just make a pattern with your yarn. I don't know.
Right.
Okay.
It's like magic. It just happens.
It does.
You know,
happens right after. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's super cool. You know, I think it's so nice that, the school offers opportunities for people to kind of explore and connect over those hobbies. I think that, I don't know, for me, hobbies have always been one of the biggest reasons I find friends and connect with people. I wouldn't consider myself like a super introverted person, but I do think that a lot of times having that similar hobby, that similar interest, like it opens up this cool little social avenue with other people that gives you something to talk about. And so like you can connect with someone who normally maybe you would have never like talked with, and you can become really close friends because of the mutual interest. Right.
Right.
So that's super cool. And I love that the school brings opportunities for that. I went to one, I didn't like join a group, but I did attend one of the D&D nights to get footage.
Yeah.
Cause we were doing like I was doing a documentary for a video class on the history of D&D. We were showing it at the school. And it's super cool to see everyone like come together and just have fun and do different things. And it's cool to hear about the other hobbies as well. That's super sweet.
I would totally get into D&D if I had a character. I don't know how to do it. It'd be fun to try it out. Yeah.
Actually, as an FHE activity a while ago, we started a D&D campaign.
Really?
It was so great. I'm a half orc because essentially we're assassins in like an orc village.
That's scary.
And so it's pretty funny. I'm a half orc and almost a large majority of our FAG group is like little characters, so tiny and stuff. We called them the ankle biters because they're so short and we're just like gigantic. It's so funny.
I was like,
they're going to bite our ankles, guys.
Yeah, there's many characters you could create. I didn't know you could create them. I thought you had to just like select one. But
Man. It's interesting. It's definitely a lot. It's super fun. I play D&D. I still play like those types, like D&D adjacent. Like they're called tabletop RPGs.
Okay.
I play those every once in a while. Because I'm more into like Warhammer, which is, it's very similar, right? Like you have models, you don't always have to have models with D&D, but you have like a lot of dice and you're rolling dice to kind of see what the outcomes of things are. And you're making decisions and you're kind of hoping that the dice fall with those decisions, right? You're kind of trying to increase your probability chances, or you're like taking high risks and whatnot to try to win. And I kind of like that because it's, I don't know, like for me, it's very nice to look at something and just be like, this is what it does, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a little sheet in like its book and it says, that's what this little guy does. That's what he does every time. Mm-hmm. Those are his options. And like for me, I love D&D, but like it's that choice. I get like choice paralysis sometimes when I try to play it because it's like,
oh yeah.
You know, sometimes you're like, oh, I just want to be big guy with sword.
Literally.
And then you realize big guy with sword has like 18 different pages you need to keep track of in the book.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, it's a lot of fun. I think like it's definitely fun to try. And I think once you learn it once, it's kind of like easier going forward when you do other games, because it's like, oh, this is like D&D or this is like this. So it's fun.
So I have a question that has to do with D&D. I'm not a D&D guy, but how does it end? How do you win at D&D?
You don't. So,
okay.
D&D.
I don't know if I want to play now.
I think all of our characters end up dying.
Dungeons and Dragons is like, it's about group storytelling.
Huh.
Like, that's the whole kind of appeal. It's not really like a competitive game. There are people who, I think they're called power gamers. I think that's kind of like the term. But there are people who kind of, you like pick out only the best stuff and like you optimize. There are people who optimize their like builds and their classes, and they go on YouTube and they find what's the most broken thing that I can make that just hits really hard and does everything good or whatever. And but I think that the main nature of the game is really just about like, you can be a character who's awful at everything, and that's part of the fun, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have really low skills or whatever, right? Like, you rolled really poorly on your, like, points allocation, right? So let's say you have bad strength or bad, like, speed and dexterity and stuff like that. It's still funny. Like, you can role play it. Like, you can dress them up and kind of, like, come up with a character. And you're like, oh, yeah, maybe it's, like... because, like, one time I wanted to be a... I was a gnome...
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I was like a gnome paladin, but I rolled really poorly. And so I flavored him in a way where he was just this like really small nerdy guy with a giant backpack that goes like over his head. He's like a Boy Scout who loves to look for bugs and has a bug collection. So when you get in fights, he just kind of like doesn't do anything. He just kind of runs around and hides, and then every once in a while we'll like do something or like get mad and hit something.
Throw a bug at somebody.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
this
so like
poisonous.
And that's kind of the charm of it, right? It's more about like if you're a theater kid, like D&D is this your oyster, I guess.
Right.
You know? But
right.
That's kind of the point, right? So winning, it's not really about like I got more points than my fellow player at the table, so I win today.
Wow.
It's more like we're just going to go and have fun and kind of tell our own story through this game system. Mm-hmm. And then when we feel like we're done, we're done. You know, and you work that out with the DM or the dungeon master, who's like the head of the thing. Like they're the person who's in the driver's seat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they lead your story and you follow and you make decisions, and they kind of have to like keep up with that, you know, because they might be like, oh, I want you to go fight this dragon. You're like, nah, we're going to just like go over here. And you're like, okay, we got to figure out what happens then.
So, because I had a friend I was talking to last week or something. He does D&D on Saturdays. And he was like, I was just done with the campaign. I was done. So I made it so that my character died. And like, I was over. I was like, all right, cool. I don't know. But yeah,
I've done that a couple times where like one time I made a character who was this like little, he's just not little. He's a big orc dude. And the way I was playing him, I was trying to like, he had a cultural reason for like practicing necromancy, like raising the dead, right? And making zombies.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh, but his cultural reasoning makes it morally justified for him. And he ended up becoming this evil character. And so I was like, I shouldn't play him anymore because like it doesn't fit with the group. Like the group would normally kick him out. So I had, like, me and my DM, we came up with this whole story of how he betrays the group, and he ends up becoming one of, like, the big villains later on down the course of the game. So it's kind of, you know, it's cool, right? Like, so sometimes you can, like, choose to leave or make someone new if you don't like what you have, and it's just part of the story, you know?
Wow.
It's a lot of fun, so.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I feel like if I ever got in that game, it'd have to be with a whole bunch of noobs because I'd get destroyed.
Yeah.
But it'd be fun. I mean, I would do it if I had beginners.
Yeah. My roommate talks about all of our D&D campaigns with us. They sound so beautiful. But one time a while ago when she talked about a D&D campaign, they had this infection that was going around called a werepickle. So essentially, like if you had this infection or disease or whatever, you would then turn into a pickle. And that you were just a pickle, and so you could not fight.
And that's funny.
It was great.
Yeah. I think, you know, hobbies are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of opportunity for self-expression and that, like, socialization. And you also make a lot of memories, right? Like, D&D, it's crazy to think about it, but, like, you've made, like, a memory in the same way that, like, it's almost like you read a book or watched a movie, but only you and your friends know about that memory. Only the people who were there in that room experienced that, like, image together, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's so crazy. Like, for me, when I play Warhammer, you know, some people are very competitive. I'm very much on the side of my dudes look cool, you know, and that's what matters to me. Cool. And they're going to die valiantly. You know, they're going to go out and be menaces and they will die with honor. And but it's cool because, like, you kind of roll the dice and you kind of come up with this, like, oh, he missed that hit, mm-hmm. you know, and my, like, you know, whatever. Like, and that tank barely missed that shot. And so, like, you kind of come up with these like stories and these images in your head, and
right.
And then you can connect with other people over them, and it's a lot of fun, right? And it's very creative, self-expressive, and you know, I think that, you know, I think that's kind of like the big appeal for hobbies, at least for me, is it can be relaxing, but more importantly, I think it's this like fulfillment of those things, mm-hmm. The self-expression and creativity and things like that. So yeah. and same thing with like music and horticulture and all these things. It's like you can create some really cool stuff. And I mean, what about you guys? Like, what's your favorite aspect of your hobbies?
Okay, so I'll go first. So when I was in junior high, my family did not have cable. And so I couldn't watch the games that I wanted to watch, right? I'm a big Giants fan. I grew up in Northern California, and so they would have been on TV and I couldn't watch them. But I would tune in on the radio. And so that's how I got into it. And the announcer, the broadcaster, would paint such a picture that, like you talked about seeing these things in your head. I got to determine what it looked like in my head. And I can just remember nights, night after night after night, just laying in bed and like literally dreaming about baseball. And being invested in the game because somebody was telling me this story through the radio. And so that was like, that's an aspect of it that has become really entrenched for me, right? I work for the radio station on campus. I want to be a broadcaster. And so that's like the genesis of my whole desire to be in radio and broadcasting in general, is just laying in bed those nights and listening to those games with those people and painting those pictures and going through that whole process. And it's a great thing for me, outlet and a way of expression. And to be that person who makes those images for those people would be my ultimate goal.
That is so awesome, Chandler. I love that. I love that idea of, like, because for me, like, I look at sports and I'm like, I understand the appeal. I just didn't grow up as an athletic kid. Like, I played lacrosse, but it wasn't like my first, like, love or anything like that. You know, like I grew up loving Star Wars, and I loved Star Wars action figures and like coming up with the battles in my head and stories and things like that, because for me that's what captured my mind when I was little. And then when I got a little bit older, that translated more into like I want to do some creative writing or like things like D&D and these other hobbies, right? And I think that's so cool that like you had that with sports. You know, and like, I wonder if like in the medium that you experience it through can like change your perspective on that, you know, like, because for me, it was only ever TV. It was only ever numbers on TV. Sure. And it was hard for me to, I'm an ADHD guy, you know, and so like, it was really hard for me to pay attention with like my dad during football, because the ad breaks and everything. I would just be like, all right, you know, like it's a lot. And but for you, like you got this vivid picture from radio announcers, and it like molds the way you view that you interact with that hobby. And that's super sick. That's so cool.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's honestly something I've been listening to you guys talk, and I'm thinking about what like hobbies, like this is an interesting topic. I've never like dove deep into it to think about expressing yourself, being able to connect with people, and as well as memories. Like, yeah, hobbies do that for you. I like that. I'd say something that I guess could be a hobby would definitely be getting out and going up into the mountains. Mm-hmm. Just finding places to hike, places to see, traveling is a hobby as frequently as I can, not as frequently as I want to, but that is a hobby that I think I've been able to make, like you said, a connection, a memory, and express myself, be free and open. Back in when scouting was still with the church, my group used to hike up to King's Peak, which is the highest mountain in Utah. And it's about 13,500 feet in the air. And so that definitely was an opportunity for me to just take a week and just get out of the world and go have some fun in the mountains. And I think for each of us, hobbies in certain ways takes us out of the world, gives us an opportunity to breathe, to feel open and free. And so I think sports, or like you said, D&D, arts, the radio, all of these things can bring us out of our shells and out of the world. And we can be like, okay, this is kind of who I am. This is something that I enjoy, probably something that we've been given as a gift to express and connect with other people with, right? So I think that's so true.
Yeah, absolutely. I like how you put that. It takes you out of the world. Mm-hmm. But I think you can learn so much about the world.
Yeah.
You know, with these things. Because, like, you know, I also love to hike. That's one of my, kind of comes with the airsoft kind of stuff. Especially when you do the more, like, I don't know, intense, like the crazy games where people camp out for like 3 days doing like some events and whatever. Like, you do hiking and stuff, and it's fun. And
yeah.
It's cool how, it's that art imitates life thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can see how things are in your own life paralleled in the hobby or whatever. And sometimes those hypothetical, scenarios or those fictional scenarios we explore can sometimes help us understand things about real life, and that's also super cool. And so, like, you know, sometimes, like for example, you go to the mountains and you have a spiritual experience. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's hypothetical. That's real, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's still something that allows you to disconnect. And, I mean, that's something we do when we get into our scriptures, right? You kind of want to, you take a moment, right, and you invite the spirit. And right? Yeah. You want to be in the right mindset when you study.
Sure.
And
that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think that is a great way to just feel accomplished, especially if you're taking a break from, you know, the stresses of school life or even work. That's a great way to take a break for that and just to feel accomplished once you get to the top. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is definitely a great spiritual experience as well, because you're taking time away from the world and taking that and using what you love to do. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brianna, I bet you feel that a lot with art. Cause, like, for me, painting the miniatures, it's like I have, you know, you see the first one I painted and it's like, wow, that's awful. And you look at the last one I just painted and I'm like, I've learned a ton and it feels good. And it, you know, I didn't realize I'd get to a point where I'm like, I look at it and I'm like, oh, that's good. And other people look at it and that's good. And that feels accomplishing. Right. And have you had that with your art? Like, do you feel like, do you enjoy that process?
I absolutely enjoy it. Actually, I will have to go to YouBelong and take that offer, because I haven't been able to find a time to finish this artwork I've been working on. It's essentially a pen and ink recreation of Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night.
Oh.
So it's actually, like, I'm somewhat done with it. I'm like, I guess I could say I'm halfway done with it.
Wow.
But I haven't been able to find the time to do it. And I feel like YouBelong could really help me to find that time.
Oh, yeah. 2 hours of it. You should come.
Yeah.
It's on the 23rd.
I definitely will.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, but awesome. It, honestly, it really challenges me to try and get my creative side out, especially because Vincent van Gogh, as you guys know, is a painting that includes a lot of color, and turning it into a black and white recreation is pretty challenging.
I bet.
But it's going really well, and I just need to find the time to finish it so that I can just hang it up somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Something that I was thinking of, Brianna, when you were talking about that, you said you were like, I'm pretty much done with it. But then you thought about it and you were like, it's like, I could add some more things halfway. So when, as an artist, do you decide I'm done? Or is it like, do you always go back and you're like, I can add this, I can add this, I can add this, I can make it even better and add to that in a way that improves and lets you exercise your hobby even more? So what does that look like for you? When do you decide I'm done?
When I feel like I'm done, I feel like there's nothing else I could do to make this better because it feels finished to me. So that really depends on the person, on how much of a perfectionist they are. And me, I'm a really like strong perfectionist, especially in the workplace, which is pretty, I mean, as good as it is, it's just very, I guess you could say it could be sometimes time consuming, mm-hmm. or even like a lot of the times if you mess up, which artists do, but somehow artists are able to figure out a way to make something out of that, like, make something out of that, I guess you could say, mistake. So sometimes we'll go through a mistake and we'll turn it into something else. So just trying to get that creative side out, turning mistakes into another art piece, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I think of like all the stories of like artists where they have like one famous piece and then like they examine it with, I'm sure it's some sort of like special X-ray or camera, and they realize that like underneath this famous whatever piece by some artist, it's like there's four other paintings behind here that he just put paint over because he didn't want it. He was sick of it or whatever, was done with it, and ended up making his magnum opus on that, you know, on that same sheet where all these failures or things are just finished products that they didn't want to show kind of existed. And I think that that's interesting. And when we talk, you know, when you talk about being done, you know, it's really hard because like sometimes I have like little guys that I've painted where I'm like, I just want to scrub the paint off of them and try again.
Start over.
And then there are other ones where like you kind of learn, there's kind of like a sweet spot where it's like, yeah, you want things to be detailed, but also like it only needs to look good from a certain distance. Because anything under a really tight lens, especially your own lens, because you're the person doing it, it's very easy to scrutinize, right? It's very easy because like even if you zoom in on masterwork paintings, I'm sure you can see like it's just brush strokes. And sometimes it's hard to see that fuller picture when you're stuck in the brush strokes, you know? And it's cool to take a step back and you look at it and go, no, that looks good from the angle that it's kind of expected to be perceived from. And so
I think sometimes
that it's so you kind of learn that life lesson with art that's like perfectionism. It's like you kind of learn to step back and be like, no, that actually looks good where it is, where it's supposed to be. So
I don't know if any of you guys have done this, but something that I like doing is combining multiple different like hobbies and putting it into one. So like you'd go hiking, but then you'd also go up there and draw.
Yeah.
So you have the art in the mountains, and then you could like, I don't know, read a book as well if you want.
Oh, a Renaissance. Just, like,
that would be cool.
go up there and start combining hobbies and stuff. So I think that's also why people like D&D so much, is because storytelling is one thing, but then board games is another thing. Group cooperation is another thing. And then you just combine hobbies to make its own activity, I guess. So
that is great.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Like, hobbies often can be done from anywhere.
Yeah.
Depending on what hobby it is. But like, it can be done from anywhere. So if you're tired with where you're doing it, right, you can go anywhere. Mountains to draw. You can go to the beach to play I don't know. But just like anywhere. You can do anything anywhere.
Even surfing at the beach.
Yeah, that's surfing's a huge
although
hobby.
There's no beaches here.
Yeah. Chandler, if you could grab your radio and then we'll go surfing and you can like
surfboard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
You play baseball while you're surfing.
Right.
Yes.
Listening to the football game.
While while drawing the dolphins next
year. While drawing the dolphins.
Oh, that's great.
Definitely.
But I think that is cool. Good point. Combining things together and creating these fun experiences. Like, I have like friendships from high school that I still keep up, and I'd say that a big reason for that is just because we met through like D&D and stuff, or like wanting to do that as a group, and it just kind of stuck.
Even if
we don't always do that all the time, like I don't know, you know, like it just happens.
And combinations of hobbies.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, well, cool. Is there anything else anyone wants to say? Or
I'd just say, if you have a hobby, chase it down. Develop it, have fun, and then come share it. Honestly, that's something else. So I could plug one more time in for You Belong. It's it's a place where you can bring your hobbies. Not many people know you. If you have something you like doing, you can bring it. You can share it and show the people. Because sometimes you might not have something that you already like. And if you want to connect with somebody, then just bring it and you'll find friends. Like you were saying the whole time, that's how we connect with people, is through hobbies. That's the purpose of Yuwang. That's the essence of why we have it. So that students here, because they come from all over the world. And if you want to come to school to BYU Idaho, you want to connect with somebody, right? And so this is an opportunity to do that. So yeah, definitely come.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Carson, thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, guys,
thank
for having
you. Me. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio. Today's hosts are me, Christian Nelson,
Chandler Guadnane,
and Brianna Leal,
with special guest Carson Youngberg, a member of the Student Leadership Council here at BYU Idaho. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. This episode was edited by Chandler Guadnane. Producers were the hosts, with supervision by Brandon Isle. Our theme music is Finding Happiness by DJ Quads and The Perpetual Ticking of Time by Artificial Music. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media, or visit the website byui.edu/radio and click podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. And also, leave a review of the show and leave a comment on what we should talk about next.